that's stupid. The Bible says whoever calls upon his name will be saved. What more do you need? What more of an invitation do you need? The question is not whether God wants to save you. The question is whether you want to be saved. Well, we can say to those people, how can you be so stupid? You should, you know, that's that. Okay, so now let's move up to where we are. Let's move up to where we have grown. Let's move up wherever you are in your growth thing, okay? When you come to a place, this is the way Jesus said, walk in it. Don't mull around it. Walk in it. James didn't spot that motorcycle and then sit in the van and say, well, God wants me to have it and show up in my driveway. Would have been nice if he just put it in the driveway, wouldn't it? It would have made it simpler. Wow, it's here! But that isn't the way to know it's going. I've got to go pick it up and drive it. Or haul it, whichever. But when it comes to those things of God, same thing, we have to pick them up. We have to pick them up, but we have to walk in them. We have to make that decision. Because it says, life itself was in him, and this life gives life to everyone. His light came into the darkness. In one translation or two, it says that the darkness comprehended it not. The darkness couldn't quench it. The light is real. It's true. Darkness can't shut it off. A blind person may not be able to see the light, but the light's still on. I once was blind, but now I see. The light was on when I didn't see. The light was on a lot of things. There's light that's on a lot of things that I'm still not seeing, but I'm looking. The bulb is in the socket, and I'm looking for the switch. It's there to be found. Life itself was in him, and his life was to be the light unto men. His life was to be the illumination of life for us. In other words, his life was the light for us to see what our life should be. So when the light comes on, we look at him, and that's what's supposed to be illuminated. The life I now live is no longer me, it's no longer I who live, but it's Christ who lives in me. Life was in him, and this life was the light. His life is what the light comes on for, to illuminate his life, so that then we desire to be in his life the way that he lived. Because he said, these and greater things will you do, because I go to the Father. And so, life was in him, and this life was the light, and the light was to show us how to be him. That's what the light comes on for. The light shone in our darkness. The first thing that light did was convict us of sin and righteousness and judgment. When the light comes on, we realize we need a Savior. Once we have done that, now the light shows us the Savior. And as we walk in the light, we realize the Savior wants us to walk like him. Now, the religious mindset walking like him is, you know, oh my God, I have to spend my life miserably trudging through life. I have to be absolutely perfect. I can never do anything wrong. The fact is that I can be perfect. I have been made perfect in Christ, and I can choose not to do wrong. I now have a choice for that. The light illuminates this, makes us realize that his life was his desire for us. I don't know what the percentage would be of people, but if you were to ask, I think a high percentage of Christians, if you ask them what it meant for his life to be lit up and that we should live like him, most of them would say, well, we should be dying on a cross. We should die for everybody else. We should be burdened all the time. But let's look at his life the way his life really was. Did he live his whole life just burdened? Did he live his whole life just miserable? As a young kid, he had a relationship with his father. As a young kid, he sat in the temple and he just loved to blow the religious leaders' minds. Now, I don't know if Jesus wouldn't do that. I don't know. He sure had them confused and he didn't quit. And he did it at 12. Do you think that he did it sometime between the time that he was 12 and he was 30? It says he grew in grace and he grew in favor with all men. Was that a terrible life he lived? Oh, the poor thing. That's not what he lived, was it? It doesn't tell us much. It leaves it open to our imagination of what his life was like until he came onto the ministry field. I think he was blessed. I think he was blessed in his going out and blessed in his coming in. I think that everything that he set his hand to became a perfect carpenter's thing. I think that he was the most desired carpenter in that whole area. I think that people stood in line to get him to do their work. I think he was blessed. I think he took good care of his mother. I think his brothers and his sisters, I think they were all, I think the thing that they made him think he was the most crazy was because their business went downhill and he wasn't there working anymore. Come home, Jesus. We want our money back. Well, they should have learned from it. I don't see, it's open to my imagination because the Bible doesn't tell me much about it, right? But I don't believe, I don't see him as miserable. And when he came on the scene, he had a pretty good run in ministry. Everything he did prospered. It really did. That's not a bad thing. When there wasn't enough food, he had more than enough food, right? When there wasn't enough money, he could get it out of a fish's mouth if he wanted to.